people, the legalist. The legalist. I've been saved roughly 40 years, and the first 10 years I spent in what we call legalism, a church with a legalistic mindset. And for those who don't know what that is, legalism is trying to live for God based on your personal performance, on what you bring to the table, your efforts. And it is not the will of God. It was 10 years before I matured enough that I began to understand the message of grace as given to us in Romans and in Galatians. And we as New Testament people, we are supposed to live by grace. It means that your performance is what it is. And how many will just be honest this morning and confess that my performance is simply not all that it should be? That's why you and I should accept grace so easy. But I want to talk this morning for a few minutes from the parable called the prodigal son. And usually when this is ministered, we talk about the prodigal, how he ventured away from the father's house, ended up in the hog pen. And then he went back to the father's house, and the father had this gracious reception for his son. He didn't condemn him for the mistakes that he had made, but he graciously brought out the fatted calf, brought out the robe, put the slippers on his feet, the ring on his finger, and it was all an effort of grace by the Father. And usually when we go through that parable, we run out of time before we can get to the elder brother. But today I want to start in, well, we'll read the first couple of verses, and then we're going to jump down to verse 25. But let's read just verses 11 and 12 now. Luke 15 verses 11 and 12. And he, speaking of Jesus, he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he delivered unto them his living. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for the offering that we'll be receiving here in the worship room and across the online experience today. We would ask you that you would bless these individuals, bless these families, do it in such a way that they know that it's the result of their liberality that you are bringing the blessings of God upon their life. And Father, I ask you to use me this morning, speak through me, take control of your vessel, help me to become transparent, Lord, that you might speak directly to the hearts of your people. We pray it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. So Jesus tells this parable, and it's actually the third parable that he's told in a row. The first parable that he told, it concerned a man with 100 sheep, and one of them went astray. And the parable says that he rejoiced more with the one sheep that had gone astray than the 99 who didn't. So there was a ratio there of 1 to 100. Then the next parable that he tells is about a woman that had 10 coins, and she lost one of them. And when she found her lost coin, she rejoiced over the lost coin, although she had not rejoiced over the 9 she still had. The ratio there is 1 to 10. 1 to 100, then 1 to 10, and then it begins this parable, which is a ratio of 1 to 2. The man had two sons. And the younger, meaning the less mature, the less experienced son, he came to the father. He said, give me my inheritance. He didn't even wait for the father to die. He just said, give it to me now. I can't wait. And he went out and he lived a riotous life, and he got himself in all type of trouble. And when he came to the end of his road, he said, I will go back to my father's house. And he went back home. And the father, as I said earlier, he graciously received his son. My son that was lost is found. And he began a celebration. Get the fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration. Because as Jesus has said earlier in one of the other parables, heaven rejoices when one sinner repents and comes back to the father. But then we have the elder brother. The elder brother, he was a legalist. And through his actions, we get a good view of what legalism really is. And the reason that Jesus told all of these parables is because he had a set of Pharisees and scribes that were listening to him, and he tried to paint a picture so they could see themselves. that the young man had come back home after making horrible mistakes, but there was no rejoicing that he had come back home and repented. They wanted punishment. They wanted to extract a penalty for the mistakes he made. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God did not extract a penalty from me. He paid the penalty himself. And he just allowed me to graciously come into his presence. He made me an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He opened the throne room door and said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Anytime that you need help or you have a need, come to the throne. That's grace. But dropping down to verse 25, we'll begin to look at this elder son. Now, to understand this parable, you have to understand the father is a type of our heavenly father. The younger son, the prodigal son, he is a type of the repentant sinner that comes back to the father. And the elder son is a type of the legalist. He represents the mindset, the heart set of the Pharisees and the scribes. And let me just say this. Every human being has the capacity and even somewhat of a leaning towards law. We have to be taught grace. We have to be taught how not to try to respond to what's going on around us from a legalistic mindset, but to approach it from the mindset of grace. So in verse 25, it says, now the elder son, which is supposed to be more mature and more experienced, he was in the field. When the party started, he was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. Now what's odd here is that the father left him in the field. The servants are part of the rejoicing. They're killing the fatted calf. They're making music. They're rejoicing. And the father left him in the field, just like when the younger son went out to the world to live, the father left him in the world. And what this tells you and I is that God's not going to twist your arm to make you do right. You want to go out to the world, he'll let you go. You'll be wanting to come back. And if you want to live by performance, he'll let you try that because you're going to fail over and over and over. It says that as he drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. The legalist is usually excluded from all joy. There's no real joy. There may be human laughter and human emotion, but the joy of the Lord, that's not in the legalistic camp, because they're not operating according to God's redemption plan. They're trying to make their own plan, that if I just keep the Ten Commandments, which they can't, which if I just keep the Ten Commandments, God's going to accept me. That's not the deal that God cut. The deal that God cut is that if you accept my son, I accept you. That's God's redemption plan. But the legalist will try to perform. It says in verse 26, and the elder son, he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. Now here's the impact of being a legalist. This elder son is a biological blood son of the father. He is a legitimate heir. As a matter of fact, when it says in the prior verses that the father gave them their inheritance, because he's the elder son, he got a double portion of the inheritance. He got two-thirds of the inheritance, where the other son only got one-third. So he's a legitimate heir. Nevertheless, he has to ask a servant what's going on. The son should know what's happening in the father's house. But because of his legalistic mindset, he's losing information. He's losing his opportunity to fully understand the father's ways and what's happening in the father's house. Verse 27 says, and he said unto him, the servant said unto the elder brother, that thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. So we see a picture here of the house rejoicing, the servants are rejoicing, the father's rejoicing. It's just joy. It's just a good time. The only one not rejoicing is the legalist. Again, having spent 10 years in that camp, This legalism does something to the human brain. It makes you think that everyone else is beneath you. It makes you think that everybody else, you become very sharp and very calculated at picking out other people's missteps and failures, but you are blinded to your own. Has anybody ever experienced that? This was the event in my life that made me realize legalism was wrong. I had come up in legalism. I had just started pastoring. We had a small storefront church. And there was a woman that came in. We didn't know who she was, just somebody. I think she was of Arab descent. But they brought her in, and she had on, I don't know what you call the thing. It's like a pants-type outfit with a coat over it, a long coat. And she came in, and being a legalist, I immediately realized, you can't wear pants. That's not God. And I remember, although I didn't say anything to her, thank God, I was angry. The word on the door said holiness. How dare you come into a holiness church dressed unholy? That's legalism. And when the service was over, they brought the woman to me. And they explained that her husband had brought her over from wherever it was and was physically and mentally abusing her. And she was looking for help. And that's when the Holy Spirit smote my heart. She comes, the only place she knows to come close to the Lord, and you look down your legalistic nose at her, and all you could do is criticize rather than reaching out. That's when I knew what I have is not right. It's not the Spirit of God. And slowly, it was a big deal because our whole church was legalist. Legalists stick together because they confirm each other. And so now I'm beginning to turn to grace as I'm studying and understanding this by grace. And I've got a legalistic church, and I've got to pull this whole bunch with me, realizing that many of them are going to bail ship. They're not going to do it. And they did. But thank God today I stand in grace. Thank God for the grace of God. But legalism does something. It's not a matter of intelligence. It does something to the mind. It makes you feel holy based on the hallucination that you're actually performing adequately for God, which we never are. So verse 27 says, the servant said, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And it shows us a type of what Jesus said earlier in this chapter, that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes back. The angels in heaven, God himself, all of heaven rejoices because one sinner that was in trouble turned his life around and began to approach back to God. Now, when the younger son came back to the father, he still smelled like hogs. He still had hog mud all over him, unshaven, hair in a shambles. But God looked through all of that. The father looked through all of that and said, my son has come home. Verse 28. Well, let's read 27 and go into it. The servant said unto the elder brother, thy brother is come, and the father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound, and he was angry. Now look at that. The whole house is rejoicing. The father's rejoicing. The servants are rejoicing. Everybody's rejoicing, but the legalist is angry. And that's what you find in legalism so often. There are angry bunch of people. They're not kind. They have no graciousness about them. If you didn't keep my little rule, I hate you because you didn't keep my rule. It's not a matter of the commandments of God. There are churches that if you go into it and you have earrings on, sisters have earrings on, well, that's not holy. If your hair is below the bottom of your ears, if it's not in a Pentecostal pomp on top, oh, that's not holy. If you got on makeup, there's churches that if the man does have facial hair, he's not holy. Other churches, if you don't have facial hair, you're not holy. But none of that is in the book. By grace we are saved through faith. not of works. Our salvation is the gift of God. You and I don't have to earn it. And this elder son, he's desperately trying to earn it, and he's angry that his younger brother didn't have to earn it. He made mistakes and still got the blessing of the Father. And he's angry. It goes on to say he was angry and he would not go in. Speaks of a stubborn rebellion. I didn't get my way. It didn't fall the way that I thought it should fall. Therefore, I'm not participating. It says he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore, came his father out and entreated him. Now get this, he's in a huff, not coming into the party. The father, representing our heavenly father, he comes out and gracefully extends grace to the elder brother. Come in, make merry, let's be happy. Your brother was lost, let's join in the party, you can be happy too. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Now let's just stop right there. He's saying, I have worked all this time. I have worked hard. Neither have I transgressed at any time thy commandments. What he is proposing is that his relationship to the Father should be based on his performance. And when he says, of course, when he says, I've never transgressed that commandment at any time, it means he didn't get caught. And this is the thing about legalists. Legalists will say, hey, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do that. And they work hard to never get caught not keeping their own rules. I remember when I was back in the legalistic church, we had one sister there. I mean, she was a single woman, very beautiful, but she was holiness of holiness. I mean, do not step to her. All the brothers knew, don't step to her. She will shut you down in a minute. She was just the epitome of holiness. And I remember pulling over to the gas station one time to get some gas, and I noticed someone in the next pump. And I didn't notice it at first, but it was her. And she came over. She was almost crying. She said, Brother Lincoln, please forgive me. I'm wearing pants out here getting gas. And please forgive me. I'm sorry that this has happened. That's what legalism does to the mind. You trap yourself in this expectation that nobody can keep. That's when God gave the Old Testament, nobody could keep it. Just the Ten Commandments. There's nobody in this room that hadn't broke the Ten Commandments since you got saved. Since you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you've still broken, you've at least told a lie. You may have at least looked at your brother's wife with a glimmer of lust in your heart, but something has happened and you've broken a commandment, and not once. As a matter of fact, usually we have a fault in our life. We have to fail again and again as we're working on it, striving, trying to figure out how do I allow grace to come in and take this thing from me? Because our first reaction is just to hold ourselves by self-discipline. And it doesn't work. So he said, lo, to the Father, lo, these many years. How could you do me like this, Father? I have worked so hard. I have worked so hard. I have kept the commandments. And yet, thou never gavest me a kid. Now, here's the legalist. He should be rejoicing that his brother didn't die in the hog pen. He should be rejoicing his brother has come back home. But yet he's angry and self-centered. You gave him the fatted calf. I've been here working this whole time. You gave me nothing. But the reality is that when the younger son went out into the world, that elder son got a double portion of the inheritance at that time. How many kids did you get in the inheritance? How many fatted calves did you get in the inheritance? He could have done whatever he wanted to, and the father will say that later. All that is mine is yours. You could have had the fatted calf any time. But when you feel that you have to earn it, and saints, all of us have this subtle bent in our minds that makes us think we have to earn it. Now, don't get me wrong. We should live for God as strong as we can live for God, but not because it earns you anything, because it's your reasonable service. I was listening to, I think, one of the commentaries this morning, and it was saying how people live holy because they have the expectation that Jesus is coming back. And that's right, that's good. But I realized in my own heart, I don't live holy because I know he's coming back, although I do know he's coming back. I live holy because I love him, and I want to be like him, and I want to be pleasing to him. But if I have a misstep somewhere in my walk of holiness, I am not fazed, because I realized 40 years ago when he saved me, he knew I was going to make that misstep. And so I just repent of it and say, God, I'm coming back to you, missteps and all. As the commentator said, look away from your 10,000 failures and look to the head of your great high priest. He is your holiness. He is your righteousness. He says, neither have I transgressed thy commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Here's one of the key points of the legalist. They will always look for a point of complaint. They're not looking for every, you can tell, I can tell anyway, when a legalistic minded person walks into this church, my brain, I can just see them. I can just discern who they are, because they're looking for, just what can I complain about? What's here that I can complain about? You know, we used to have a big cross on the wall back here. When we first moved into church, that was the cross that we had, a large, I don't know, 16-foot cross on the wall. And then we decided, hey, we need to put in this screen. And the first thing that came to mind is, well, the legalists are going to say that we have abandoned the cross, that we've walked away from it. And so I had them take it down, and we kept it over here in the storage room for a few days. I was waiting for somebody to come and say, why'd you take the cross down? Hey, brother, one, you can have it. But take it home with you. We need it off the property. We ended up giving it to another church, but I kept it there just waiting for it to happen. Say, brother, put back your truck up right here. We'll put it on the back of your truck. Take it home. He says, you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son is come, which has devoured thy living with harlots. Now notice this. He immediately points out the sin of his younger brother, who has already repented, who has already turned from his sin, but he keeps bringing it up. He says, which has devoured thy living with harlots. But he goes further. And you, father, you killed the fatted calf for him. So he accuses not only the younger brother, he accuses the father. But what he doesn't see is that his heart is totally misaligned from the father, from which all the resources are flowing. And the legalist of our day doesn't realize their heart is totally misaligned with God's heart. When I was in legalism, I didn't know. Now some do. But I didn't know. And as soon as I found out, and I began to read my Bible correctly, that God is, but we're saved by grace, not of works, that I began to realize, Lord, I'm all wrong, and you're right, and I need to repent of my legalism. And now I'm strong on grace. Now I'm not, I still believe in holiness. But it's holiness that the Holy Spirit helps you to live, not something you're trying to do by your own discipline and by your own power. So he accuses his brother, he accuses the father, and the father responds in verse 31. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Another extension of the father's grace. He's saying, you could have always had a fatted calf. You know, many times we don't ask God for anything, but when somebody else gets it, we don't like that. Why'd you give it to him? It should have been me. Now, we might not say that out loud, but we have to correct our thinking to make sure we're not thinking that way. I'll be honest. When I see someone else get blessed, I drive a Toyota pickup. I think it's maybe a 2019 or something like that, or 2020. And I like it a lot. And when I see somebody get a brand new car, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that their lives, when I see a young couple come together in marriage and begin their walk together, I'm happy for them. I want to see that. There's nothing in me that says, I should have got that car. After all, I'm the pastor. No. I like my pickup because it's paid for. But if that's the car that they wanted, I'm happy for them. And all of us should have this heart. All of us should have this heart, not looking for a point of criticism, but rejoicing when our brother or sister rejoices. Now, this is an important message because the people now that are in the world that are coming in, their sins are so extreme that if you don't have the heart of God, you are not going to be able to receive them. You see, the people who are in the world now, most of us that, you know, from my age on down, a couple 20 years, your testimony coming in is either drugs, alcohol, or sex. It's one of those. But these young folks coming in, they have surgically altered the gender of their bodies. They have tattooed themselves right across the forehead, and the whites of their eyes are tattooed. I mean, they've pierced themselves through and through. They've clipped their ears. They've split their tongue. They're in a horrific mess. They've defiled and mauled their own bodies. But inside of that mauled body, there was a soul that's made in the image of God. And we still have to reach out for that soul. Because Paul said in one of the epistles, he said, and such were some of you. I mean, I wasn't pristine when I came in. I had some issues too. But when they come in, when they start coming in off of those streets, God needs a people with the heart of Christ that's ready to receive the broken, that's ready to receive them, realizing he's in the image of God. And no matter how badly he has mauled his body, if he'll come in, God got a brand new body for him. God needs a people with that kind of heart. It was meet that we should make merry. The word meet means it was right. The Father saying it was right that we make merry. It was right that we kill the fatted calf, that we receive the repentant son with gladness and joy. For thy brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. We have a generation coming in now that's in worse shape than the younger son who came out the hog pen. They're coming in with severe problems, not just the mauling of their physical bodies, but some of them have mental problems. Some of them they've twisted themselves mentally. They're doing things that you and I would not even imagine. I don't even know if I should bring this up in mixed company. But this was on, I believe it was on YouTube. I saw it maybe 2 or 3 years ago. The woman was giving her glad testimony of how she had just had sex with her dog, who was in the screen with her. The dog was jumping on her and just loving on her. And she said, yeah, we have sex all the time. This is what's happening. And God needs the people that can reach through all the filth and reach out, reach for that soul. It doesn't mean that you accept their sin. It means that you're willing to pull them up out of their sin and introduce them to Jesus Christ. But if you have the mindset of the legalist, you will never do it. You will immediately say, you did what? You're going to hell. Today, I think you're going to hell, man. The legalist. I want to close with this last verse that I've referenced a couple times. It's in the same chapter, verse 7. And this is what we have to remember as we minister to the most horrific of sinners. Jesus is speaking. He says, I say unto you in verse 7, that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so I want to be part of the rejoicing when they begin to come in, and one by one, when they begin to come in, I don't want the legalist heart of the elder brother. I want the Father's heart, and I want to be aligned with the Father. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you today. We just love you and praise you. We thank you, God, that you've extended grace to us. That, Lord, we don't live by law. We don't, our relationship with you is not built on law, but it's built on grace. And by grace, your Holy Spirit comes through and progressively sanctifies us, conforms us into the image of Christ. Now, Father, we come to you this morning. We ask you, give us your heart. Conform us to the image of your dear Son. Help us not to give way to our legalistic mindsets, Lord, where we want to extract punishment for every sin, but help us to have your heart, a forgiving heart, a heart that walks closer to Jesus every passing day. Come on, if you're able, would you stand to your feet this morning if you're able? And why don't you just begin to reach out to the Lord? Grace has depth that none of us have plumbed the depths of God's grace. And just begin to ask him, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Give me the revelation of the depth of your grace. Lord, not only that I be a recipient of grace, but that I be a conduit, that the grace of God might flow through me to another, even another that's not in relationship. Lord, to bring them to Christ, that you might sanctify them the way that you have sanctified me. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Just reach out.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you because we've been called to the ministry of reconciliation, Lord Jesus. And we know that we cannot do that unless we have your grace. We know that we cannot go out to a dead and a dying world, Father, unless we see them like you see them. And the scripture says that every time that you saw them, you were moved with compassion. So, Father, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to see them as you see them, Father. Help us to see them as us, as brothers, as sisters, as people who were just lost and need the very same grace that we have been given. Father, we just thank you for this message. We thank you because we know that you are able to do all things. We put our hope, our strength, and our mind on you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Amen. 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 That was a great message. That was a very good message because, you know, I think we all need that subtle reminder that we are just like everybody in the world. And the only difference is God's grace. Because we did not earn this thing, and he has freely given us everything that we have for life. Amen? Amen. So one quick announcement. If you haven't given, now is the time to do so. So please go ahead and be faithful and worship and giving. As you guys know, there are several ways to give. And if you are online, you definitely can text the give or scroll down to the bottom of the page and hit the donate button. That is all the announcements we have for this morning. So please just let me say a quick word of prayer and you will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you because you are with us, Father. So as we go out into the world, Lord, help us to be confident in the love that we found in you, Father. Help us not to measure who we are by what we've done, but help us to simply measure, Father, who we are by the love that you have shown us, Lord, and help us to show that same love, Father, to the world. Father, we just thank you, we honor you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. You're dismissed.